got drafted, wound up as a SEAL, long-range sniper. In 77, went to the Army Ranger. I have 2 Meritorious Service Medals, 6 Army Accommodation Medals, 3 Navy Accommodation Medals, 4 Army Achievement Medals, and 2 Navy Achievement Medals.
And
a bunch of other stuff to go along with it.
Any other Purple Heart. Did either of you ever imagine that this could happen to you?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
35% of our first-time homeless right now are baby boomers.
We'd been there almost 10 years, and our landlord sold the house and gave us 2 weeks to get out.
We looked in a lot of places, and there's, you either have 3, 4, 5, or 6 months of a paycheck available just to get into someplace, and then you got to meet their qualifications after that.
Again, this just shows the picture that we want to share with people, that this can happen to anyone.
They think it's nothing but criminals and bad people. No. And to walk into a place like Matthew's Hope, where people are actually doing what they're saying they're going to do, and they actually care. Yeah.
There's a lot of good folks that
come in every day. Very humbling. I can honestly tell you, from the day we walked into Matthew's Hope,
Daniel's been a great
From that day that we walked in there, things have changed for us. That's why I really feel like God's letting us go through this. I think there's a reason to it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tracy Lewis with Imagine, and we are here with Pastor Scott, who is the founder and CEO of Matthew's Hope, as well as Wayne and Vicky Cheney, who recently found themselves without a roof over their head for the first time in their lives. Welcome to this week's episode of Straight Talk, No BS with Matthew's Hope, presented by Imagine Marketing. At Imagine Marketing, we put in the extra effort to craft a tailored strategy for success. We also offer photography, videography, and even podcast production services. So book a free consultation today. This podcast is produced, filmed, and edited by John Burkett with Imagine. So Central Florida consistently ranks among the worst regions in the nation for its shortage of affordable housing. Recent studies found that Orlando renters need to earn nearly $70,000 a year to comfortably afford a one-bedroom apartment. A separate report stated that for every 100 extremely low-income household, the Orlando metro area can only provide 19 affordable units. Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It is. So Wayne and Vicky, can you guys describe what changed in your lives just a few months ago?
Having a place to live. We'd been there almost 10 years, and our landlord sold the house and gave us 2 weeks to get out.
Good. So you're in a house?
Yes.
And you were there for 10 years?
Almost 10 years, yes.
And she just said that you guys need to leave?
Yeah.
She wanted to sell everything out from underneath everybody.
Well, yeah, she sold it.
Yeah.
At the time, we didn't realize that we actually had rights.
Sure.
We hadn't signed a lease in almost 8 years. So we took her at her word, and we had to get out.
Wow.
And so our audience that hears this too, I'm guessing here, because I don't know your ages, but I'm guessing you're baby boomers.
Yeah.
I'm 63. And one of the things I've been trying to share with our listeners, and anytime I do public speaking, is that 35% of our first time homeless right now are baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
That never experienced this before.
Yeah.
So here you are, you think you're okay, you're in the house 10 years. What was that initial thought when she says you've got to get out?
At first, we were like, we'll be all right. We'll find something. No big deal.
My first initial thought was, what the fluff?
Yeah. Yeah, you said
have so much consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Day after day.
But I was confident we'd find something, but we didn't. Not.
We looked in a lot of places, and there's, like he said, you either have 3, 4, 5, or 6 months of a paycheck available just to get into someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got to meet their qualifications after that.
Did either of you ever imagine that this could happen to you?
No.
No.
No, not at all. Because we'd always worked, paid our own way, did whatever we needed to do, or there was 1 or 2 jobs, whatever. So no, we never imagined to be in this situation or to not be able to at least step into another place. What they put you through to even get into another place is astronomical.
So, Wayne, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, 69, I started with Disney, helped build Space Mountain and the Haunted Mansion. Got drafted, went to the Navy because the Army says you were going to go someplace else. Still wound up in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. wound up as a SEAL long-range sniper. Did my time there. Wound up in 77, went to the Army.
Yeah, I was
Ranger, same job, long-range sniper. Then I went to the artillery part of the Army.
Wait a minute. So let me get this right. So you're at Disney.
Yes.
You're helping build what we now know as the happiest place on Earth.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You get drafted. When you're drafted into the Navy, was it? You went in first?
Going to be drafted to the Army, but I went down seeing a recruiter, got into the Navy first.
Got into the Navy. Okay. And tell me the position you had with that, what you did for the Navy.
They found out I can swim and shoot very well. So the SEAL team came over and asked me to do a swimming test for them.
So you were a Navy SEAL?
Yes, sir.
And you followed that up with becoming an Army Ranger?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Look, any of our veterans out there, any of those that aren't veterans, this is the real deal. Okay. They don't just pick anyone to be a SEAL or to become a Ranger. To do both those in the same lifetime, completely unheard of. Sorry. I want to make sure I was hearing what I was hearing.
Yes, sir.
Because I think people need to understand that again, you are chosen for those positions, not just by your physical abilities, but by your mental abilities and how you can handle the situation.
He's still got shrapnel in his leg. You can actually feel it. It comes up to the surface. They never took it out and they won't. We tried to get them to take it out and they won't take it out.
Initially, it was too close to the bone. Now it's come to the surface.
But you can literally, it's just the weirdest thing I ever seen. Yeah.
Well, it makes them special.
Yeah.
Magnetic.
Well, we went to the
Yeah, trying to go through the airport, right?
We went to the VA the other day. I was really surprised. I knew he had awards and accommodations, but he had award and accommodations that we never even knew that they're sending to us.
So what awards are you guys talking about?
I know it's
hard to talk about it, but...
I have 2 Meritorious Service Medals, 6 Army Accommodation Medals, 3 Navy Accommodation Medals, 4 Army Achievement Medals, and 2 Navy Achievement Medals.
And
he has a bunch of other stuff to go along with it.
And he has a Purple Heart.
You have a Purple Heart, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so those,
he don't like to talk about it.
For those who don't know what a Purple Heart is, do you want to share?
You had to be wounded or injured in combat one way or the other to get a Purple Heart. They don't just pass them out like cotton candy going down the sidewalk.
Yeah. I think it's, and I know it's not always easy to talk about. The other side of it is I think it's important that those who listen or watch us understand that it doesn't get much better from a military standpoint on what you earned into as both your job in the military, but also the price you also paid with that in the fact that you still are walking around with metal in your leg and they pinned you with this Purple Heart, the metal state.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And you kept going.
Keep on going. Pull up your socks and whatever else you got and keep going.
Yes, sir.
Wayne, how long were you in the military and what did you do once you got out?
About 22 and a half years in the military, just a reserve time. And actually went back to Disney. I worked in character costumes there. I helped dress characters and was a character for one day, which is the worst job you can ever have.
Can I ask what character you were?
I was Dale.
It's pretty good.
Which is a funny character with a brilliant red nose. And actually, it was good, but when it's 100 degrees outside, it's 120 degrees inside that costume. You don't want to be there long.
I bet not. I bet that is so tough.
I'll take a change of direction quickly.
And then he worked for the city of Apopka. He retired from there. The man's a working machine. I've been trying to get him to retire forever. Then he retired from Apopka, and then he worked for Tri-Green. And then he went back to Disney, and I don't think he's ever going to retire.
Come on, I'm pushing 73. I don't want to retire.
Yeah.
Well, you're 73 years old?
I will become July, sir.
Wow. We got to keep moving, it sounds like.
Those of you listening, hear what we're talking about. The man is 73 years old, not only willing to work, but has been working that whole time. Again, this just shows the picture that we want to share with people that this can happen to anyone. Now, did they give you any disability coming out?
No, sir. Not at all.
They're trying to qualify him for it.
They're looking into that now.
Yeah.
So this whole time you've, okay, All right.
I just didn't go and claim anything, to be honest with you.
Pride?
I didn't think it, not pride. I just didn't think I was worthy of it.
Okay, that's pride.
Because,
yeah,
that was, because there were other folks who were more damaged than I was.
Right. And I think that I hear this a lot.
Yeah.
From veterans.
Knowing military people, I hear it a lot too.
Yeah. Is, you know, we've all felt that someone, you know, I lost most of my hearing and they keep saying, go back, get the. And part of me is like, but I didn't, you know, I didn't see combat. I didn't see any of that stuff, you know, and the bottom line is I think sometimes it gets in our own way. But the other side of that is this, is I don't understand personally, and I was not there, but shouldn't somebody be chasing him down and saying from the government and saying,
absolutely,
hey, Wayne, you did your time. You're walking around with metal in your leg. We owe you.
But with the military, in my experience and our experience, they don't give that information.
No,
you need to search for it, and you don't know what you're searching for, so it's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, I jokingly and not jokey, have said that often military benefits are broken out like scholarships, and so you're standing in the line that you believe you're supposed to be in.
Right.
You get all the way to the front, and they go, "Oh, you're in the wrong line. You should be in the line next to you." Yes. Rather than just move you over, they put you at the back of the line.
They do that quite often.
Yep. And then what happens is many veterans will just finally say, the hell with it. My country really doesn't care about me or what I did. That's just the truth. And again, prove you wrong.
It is. But I can honestly tell you from the day we walked into Matthew's Hope,
Daniel's been a great help.
From that day that we walked in there, things have changed for us. That's why I really feel like God's letting us go through this. I think there's a reason to it. Not just a lesson for us, but maybe something we can do too. I just know this has been a very overwhelming experience for us.
We keep telling Daniel that we want to come over there and volunteer to do something. I can sweep floors. I can wash dishes. I can do anything that needs to be done. And I don't mind doing it.
Is it true that you guys slept in your car for a period in time?
We did for about a week.
Mm-hmm. What was that experience like?
Miserable.
It's not fun. It was scary.
Uncomfortable, scary. Yeah, kind of find a place every other night to park so no one tries to break in on you and all that.
And you got stuff in your car that you need. So it was very, very humbling experience. Never thinking that you'll be there, but then you are.
Scott, how many of your guests live in cars?
You know, I don't know the actual percentage. I can tell you that when it comes to this, you know, our age group, it's more common they be in cars because it's quite honestly all they have left. You know, and I often have I'll have somebody say, well, I've had people say, well, they're driving a nice car. Why don't they just sell that? And the truth is that 99% of the time, the minute you drove that car off the lot, it's upside down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not going to, so you would sell it for less and still have to pay it off.
And then you wouldn't have a place to
stay. And that's also your home.
Yeah.
And it's your way to work. I've watched people sell their cars so they could stay in a hotel or whatever. Not thinking about that next week, I still need to try to go back to work. Because what happens is we get caught in that survival mode. You're just trying to get through the day. And when you're doing that, you're not seeing what the ripple effect of your decisions are today, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, even 4 months down the road. So I think that, again, something people need to consider that when you're under that trauma, that crisis, it can put you in a place where you do things you would not normally do.
Sure.
Because you're just trying to figure out, I just got to get through the day.
Right. Vicki, how did you guys find out about Matthew's Hope?
Actually, it was my uncle. He lives here in Winter Garden. He's homeless. And I had never gone through this. We didn't know where to go, what to do. And I happened to see him one day and stopped and talked to him. And he's the one that brought us to Matthew's Hope. And I can tell you, some of the people that we've met that's in our situation, our age, maybe a little older, a little younger, I never would have imagined myself. We think, and I'm thinking people older than us, you know, our elderly, we take care of them, our veterans, we take care of them, but that's not always the case.
No.
It's really sad. You were talking earlier about the perception people get of homeless people, and it's true. There is a perception that they're all bad, but they're not. There's a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, there is a lot of good folks out there that just don't have nothing to do anything with or have anything.
But are willing to work or do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vicki, you mentioned something before we started taping about your experience with people, friends that you've had, mm-hmm. lifetime friends. And can you, with, I don't want to put words in your mouth, can you share with the folks what that looked like once you became homeless?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people scatter like flies.
They walk past you like, yeah, they don't know you.
Like, y'all were friends for years, good friends. They came to your house, you went to theirs, y'all did things together. And then all of a sudden this happens, and it's like, they're not taking your call, or, you know, not coming to see you, or they just, yeah. And it was very sad. I mean, very hurtful. Couldn't understand it. I mean, eventually we understood it, but yeah, it's very hurtful.
And I'm going to ask you, this kind of personal, but did you ask them for anything?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, not.
But I think that was a fear, is that we were, but no, we didn't.
Yeah. And again, this is not uncommon. You know, that's part of why we do this, is to educate people that, you know, I think I shared with you that, you know, I told the former mayor of, excuse me, former city manager of Winter Garden. I told him a few years ago, I said, Mike, I said, quit shaving for a few days, stay in the same clothes and don't bathe for a couple of days. And I walk downtown Winter Garden and see who makes eye contact. And I said, people that have known you for years, know your position, what have you, well, suddenly it's like you don't even exist. And I think part of it is, and I don't make excuses for anybody, that's not who I am, but I think people don't know what to do. You know, it's kind of like my favorite thing as a pastor is when someone says he's in a better place. No, he's dead. And right now that family is not interested in you talking about, right? It's almost the same thing. They don't know what to say. And that's not an excuse. But I will also take, as we said, talked a little bit off camera, that sometimes it's just a matter of someone just being there. Mm-hmm. You're not asking for anything. Just, you're my friend.
Right.
I should be able to talk with you and with no judgment. And, you know, people, you know, I come from a cloth that, however it worked out, is I could not do something.
Right.
But I don't try to judge what other people can or cannot do. But what I will say to people is that you don't get through this life by yourself.
No.
And anybody who thinks they can, they're the ones we bury and put bricks out for.
Or they think they know your situation. Like, we've had people like, oh, well, y'all have two boys. Why don't y'all go stay with them? Yeah, we do. One of our boys works for the city of Winter Garden. He has his own place. The other one. But they're struggling. We don't want to put more. We don't want to put more on them. They have leases. They can't just have extra people.
Right.
You know, so people tell them, like, they think, oh, well, you have this, or you have a sister or whatever. There's circumstances as to why you can't just go stay with somebody.
And again, I think I think some people just, look, I'll say it, some people are just hard-hearted, but generally speaking, it's more of, there's a lot more of us out there suffering at one level or another. And people out of ignorance don't understand that you know, when you lease a place, it's actually in the lease. Here's who lives here. Mm-hmm. It often has their, here's how long someone can visit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's limited to days or a week.
Exactly.
Or you lose out your lease. So again, those that haven't been in the market for a long time would never know that. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit where it's not so much you can't afford the rent. You can't qualify under the current conditions, which typically require 3 times your rent. So if your rent's $2,000, then you have to show a $6,000 a month. That's $72,000 a year that you have to show just to move in.
Yeah.
That doesn't include the fact that you come up with first $6,000 to move in, plus utilities, mm-hmm. plus whatever else you do. You know, now, I mean, I'm just going to ask, do you have furniture anywhere still, or is that gone?
No, we were able to salvage some things, but we did lose a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like me and him said, it's material stuff and the full scope of things, you know, there's some pictures and things, all that's replaceable, you know? So yeah, it stung a little bit, but it's not the worst thing in the world. You know,
what was your experience like when you first visited Matthew's Hope?
Oh my gosh. It was from the time we walked in the door. I mean, we were like really taken back. I'm like, you're kidding me. I couldn't
have greeted. Like, we had been there forever and a day.
Yeah, like, the whole experience is amazing. And when you were talking about people, their ignorance towards it, it's because they just really don't know. They think it's nothing but criminals and bad people. No. And to walk into a place like Matthew's Hope, where people are actually doing what they're saying they're going to do and they actually care. Yeah.
There's a lot of good folks that
very,
come in every
very
day.
Humbling. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that experience. I mean, as the founder and, you know, my desire is always that we treat people the way we want to be treated. You all haven't seen me around much. I bounce between a lot, but I would say you will see me climb into somebody every once in a while. That's the show on their backside, what have you. But the bottom line is our goal is to not judge, be respectful, and then do together. We can't do it all. We can't do it for you, but together,
right.
What can we make happen and bring together so you can recapture that life? And maybe even better than what it was before. That's my goal and my hope. And so thank you for sharing that about how you've been treated, because that's, I think that's important. I think that when I talk to other people that have been other places, they say, well, I was treated like a number. I don't want you treated like a number.
No.
You know? We don't always know a lot of what we're doing with y'all. It's not because we're an expert in it, but rather just saying that's not in our job description. We step back and go, well, there's something I hadn't seen before. Who do we call? What do we do? Because our goal is to exhaust every possibility that will get you where you need to be sooner than later.
And Danny, I don't know if you know Danny from the VA, but oh my goodness.
Outstanding young lady.
Absolutely amazing. This whole experience has just blown us away. Like every day we're in awe. We don't even feel deserving of it. It's just been great.
Now, first off, you are deserving of it for many reasons. One, you're deserving because you're a human being. But number two, you paid some prices. And I think it's only fair that when someone is willing to put their life on the line so that these people that sometimes are the judging people, you fought for the right for them to say shitty stuff.
Most of the time, he don't even like it.
I get everybody nervous when I cuss sometimes.
Don't mind.
When I tell people, he don't even like for me to tell people we're veterans, because he's like, don't do that. He's like, because anytime you say that, they look at you like you're trying to play a card or whatever. So like, he would always be like, don't tell nobody that. And I'm like, hey, don't worry about what they think. You earned that. So he's gotten aggravated at me before. He's like, don't tell people that I was in the military.
Keep fighting for him.
Yeah.
For you hope.
Right.
She does a good job of that.
Yes.
You know, I knew Wayne was a pretty good guy when we were trying to figure out the setup, because those that watch us or listen to us, usually we only have three mics and three people sitting. And we're trying to work it out today so that Wayne and Vicky could both say that. We ask who talks the most. And he says, and he comes out and says, my honey does. Okay. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, the man, if nothing else, was really smart how he worded that.
Well, okay. After 30 years, you think he should be right.
Better get this right.
I get close to being right. Let's go there.
Every once in a while. Yeah. You know, every once in a while she lets you think you're right.
Right.
That's all right. Yeah.
So back to Vicky then. Let's go to Vicky. Speaking of. What assistants were are, because you should still... guests of Matthew's Hope, what assistance have they been able to help provide you with?
Oh, like I said, getting us in with the VA and finding out benefits that we had no idea we were entitled to.
They got us a place to stay for a
while. Yep.
Okay.
Got us a place to stay. It's a little bit further out than we like, but hey, that's okay. We're very thankful. And helping us in looking for a house. Even assisting us if the rent or whatever is a little bit more than we can afford to negotiate with people. I mean, I can just go on and on and on about how Matthew's Hope has helped us and been there for us. Mm-hmm. You would think just a Tuesday or Thursday you go in, it's not a big deal, but it is, because of they know your name. I mean, the second time I walked in there, they knew my name. I was like, you just met me the other day. And they it's amazing.
We get greeted and treated very well there.
It does. Go ahead, sorry.
Everyone there seems to know everybody's name as best they can, and they all say hello and how are you and have you been? And no, somebody even asked where you stayed that night. And
yeah, it's great.
You get the people to come in and live in the woods and stuff, and they got wet clothing and all that, and they take the clothing from them. They get it dried and everything, and they go back out to where they were the night before.
It's
what have you, Nick. They're taking care of folks. And that's what counts in life.
But it's sad to see somebody your age or older than you who always took care of themselves out sleeping on the wet ground.
Yeah.
That's hard. You know, so I still feel, even though it's a tough situation we're in, I feel very grateful because it can always be worse.
Vicki, were you, both of you, were two of you surprised when you came in to see who was in the room as far as that were in need also?
Oh, yes.
Were you surprised at the age group in that?
Yes, very.
Bunch of young bums, right?
No.
Very wide range.
There's some young, and then you see
elderly
there as well.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, and when I say young bums, I don't think any of our guys are bums, but I hear what people say at times and comment to me on social media and what have you, you know, about getting a job. They're sucking off the system, blah, 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 blah. Most again is I just wouldn't believe someone's ignorant that they would be that cold hearted, because here's what's interesting. You said you're 70s, going to be 73?
I'll be 73 come July.
Okay. So, and you've been homeless now for a few months.
Yes.
Months.
And never before that.
Never.
See, and that's how life is. So when you judge someone else, unless you know something we don't know as far as how long you're going to live and what that's going to look like, you might want to consider, because I have had folks come in recently into my Brevard location that have come to me privately and said, I was the guy judging and here I am. And so I don't think God does that as a payback, anything like that. I think what happens just proves that it can happen to anybody.
Right.
You know, I think what's interesting about Wayne and Vicki's situation, again, is that, again, very late in life, feeling very comfortable with where they were at, and Wayne's desire to continue to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not asking anybody to do anything. He just wants, just let me work. Just let me, I want to earn my keep. I'm not asking for anything, which makes us just want to do that much more for you. And and we're going to try, because the bottom line is, you know, if you look at our truck, it says, help us, help them, help themselves.
Right.
We can't fix anything. What we can do is walk with you and see what we can do, putting our heads together to put you in a better position than where you were at. But it's
we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you just willing to talk about it, because it's hard, especially for your age group.
Yeah.
I'm kind of right on the outer edge of that, but the age group of coming and saying, this is where I'm at. Because again, no one ever dreamed it could happen.
Well, what you were talking about, you know, people judging people, and I don't want to say we judge people, but I remember being at a time, we were working two jobs and seeing the homeless and thinking, well, man, if I can work two jobs or whatever, it is very humbling, because you learn real quick, like.
Sure.
And I learned real quick, okay, I was wrong, because you know what? You don't know somebody else's circumstances.
No.
You don't know they haven't worked two jobs, three jobs, or whatever it is, busting their butt and still having a hard time.
So Scott, they mentioned that they're paired with housing. Is that transitional housing?
Not in the sense that typically you think of, Matthew's Hope. However, yes, is also the answer, because our hope is that being able to transition them from where they're at now to what the next step is. Matthew's Hope is really at a point where we're kind of reinventing some of our thinking, because quite honestly, this age group is fair. It's we've always had it, not to this level. So we're a catch and release program, which typically means we catch you, we get you stabilized, we connect you with different things, try to take care of if there's medical, legal, or other issues that need to be addressed, and then set you off to where you become fully independent and self-sufficient.
Right.
That's a lot easier when you're dealing with someone who's in their 30s or even 40s. When you get into your 60s and 70s, what does that release look like? Am I going to release them back into the field of work? You know, the good news is Wayne's willing to work and able to work. The other side of it is, let's be realist, not a whole lot of people are hiring 73-year-old men.
No.
Okay? So you have this balancing act. So for us, this is the step we're taking now, and we're constantly reevaluating what's the next step based on what we're learning from our contacts at the VA. You know, one of the challenges we have now, you know, we've had this shutdown going on, and so we're sitting there going, well, a lot of stuff isn't moving. Yeah, it moves so far. And then you got to wait until other parts of the government open up, and then there's going to be a catch-up period. So right now, everything that we've experienced, no matter when the faucet gets turned back on, for lack of a better way of saying it, then you've got that catch-up to do. So we're in constant evaluation of what we can do to help people take the next step. The good news is Matthew's Hope is not beholden to taxpayer funds. And so it allows us to be a lot more creative in how we use the funds we have to make things happen. So the real answer is yes and no. Okay. It very well may, as we go through this, is let's say we get to the point where we know that VA comes back and says, okay, we've approved these things. Okay, now there's going to be a period of that approval process, and then it's a period till it gets to them.
Right.
You know, when my stepdad recently died, it took 12 weeks to get his first vet VA check to my mom, 12 weeks. So there's a period there. So we'll step back and look at that and say, okay, does it make more sense if we have a house open? Do we move them into our transitional housing for the next step? So it's all, you know, there's not one answer for any one person. And that's why it works, is because most places just, well, we have homeless people. No, no. You've, in this case, we have baby boomers that happen to be homeless. Okay. Which is a different way of getting them from point A to point B than it is for me to take someone who's a Gen Xer or whatever those things are.
Okay. Right.
But that's what we're good at. We're good at turning on a dime and going, okay, well, we thought this was a good idea. Let's twist it this way a little bit. And the nice thing is though I have had the interaction with Wayne and Vicky, as my staff has, they have been telling me what's going on. And the good news is their understanding of things don't happen overnight, and their willingness to take what we're giving them and saying, let's try to make this work. You got to come into one of the things, and people hate it when I say it, I always say is to get where you need to go, you got to first embrace your homelessness.
Right.
Embrace the situation you're in. Because until you get there, you're going to get stuck in limbo, trying to pretend you're something that you're not. Okay. The truth is, okay, it's a lousy piece of place that I'm in. However, we're moving forward.
Right.
But you got to go through a process too, which is kind of grieving. We went through that in the beginning, you know, oh my gosh, how did this happen to us? This isn't fair. Why us? Well, all the things you go through and say. And finally reached the point, you know, why not us?
Yeah.
Why not us?
But it's natural, the question you ask in that grieving process, that's exactly what it is. It's grieving. A lot of people don't look at it that way because they think of grieving as loss of a child,
right,
loss of a spouse. No, this is a loss of a life you once knew.
Huh?
So it is like a loss. It's a loss. It's a loss. And you're trying to figure out, well, what does this look going forward? And the hard part is, in your head, you mostly see it getting worse.
Right.
Before it gets better. And that's where it's real important that we have open conversations and we're honest with each other with the feelings. Because when we try to bottle that up, there's nothing positive going to come out of it.
No.
Okay? This is where we're at. This is what we need to do. And that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Rain and Vicky, what is your next goal that you have working with Matthew's Hope?
Well, my next goal is help them out as much as I can.
Yeah, we want to be able to give back. I mean, we don't want to feel like we just come in and took. We want to be able to give back too, you know, like to get into a house again and just take our experience and share it with other people and do what we can to help. Yeah.
And
surely what we want to do.
Maria.
Eventually just be a part of your story.
Yeah, because you realize everybody's like, oh, it's all about me. No, it's not all about me. It's all about all of us. And we live inside of that. I told him, I said, we live in a very entitled, spoiled society these days.
The young people are that way.
Yeah, I tell you what, if it makes you feel any better right now and dealing with people all across the board, what I will tell you also is that, yes, we have some of that. The young people not having to fight for, you know, I remember always want my kids to have it better than I have. Mm-hmm. Well, the best way to get it better than I have, encourage them to go out there and get it as opposed to give it to them.
Right.
But the other side of this is in the last several years, really since COVID, the lack of empathy for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's dog eat dog.
Mm-hmm.
Eat or be eaten.
And we didn't grow up that way, did we?
No.
We did
and,
not.
But what's interesting is to see even people in our age groups that have become like that. Mm-hmm. And they know better.
Yes.
They know better. But they've gotten caught up in the political drama you're seeing right now and other things. And people have the right to be angry. The problem is they don't know what they're angry about.
Right.
Okay. They're being angry. They're angry because someone said you should be angry. And you have a right to be angry because life is really kind of tough for a lot of people out there right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you named off some statistics a little earlier in this conversation that when you think about that, that how little housing there is, and then you throw in that a lot of the housing in Florida is owned by people that don't even live in this country, that are, and it's nobody there. They just made it, bought it as an investment. Mm-hmm. You have people that live up north. It's their second home. Which, hey, if you can do it, great. But the problem is that's a house that sits there empty 6 months a year. Mm-hmm. And we're not building anything. You know, I think we were talking, I think this was before camera, is, you know, when I went back to my grandparents' house that I just thought was a large home as I remembered it. And when I went back years later, I thought I was looking at the wrong house for a while. Either here was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house that was only 1,200 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But in my mind, right, that thing was huge. Now I look at my house, which is shy of 3,000 square feet, and I'm going, I don't even need this. I told Charlene the other day, I said, we could cut off 2/3 of this house and not never notice it. You know, now I was fortunate to buy at a really good time, at a really good price, at a 2.5% interest.
Right.
But that will never be seen again. It's why I have to stay there. If I moved to try to downsize, I would just spend the same money for less.
Right.
But when you see people in our age group being angry and selfish, and you want to say, shame on you, you know better than that. You did not get to where you are by yourself. Right. No one did.
True.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Well, thank you both for joining us. Is there anything you want to add in closing?
Just thank you guys. I mean, from the bottom.
I appreciate all the help you've given us.
No, I appreciate your service.
It is very humbling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And one day, you know, I haven't really ever done surgery before, but I've seen it done. I'll be glad to take a look at that shrapnel.
Oh, I bet. Okay? I'm sure you would.
I'll dig that right out for you.
I could take a magnet to it and almost pull it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Maybe it's kind of weird.
Stuck
weird,
with but, the
yeah. Surface is what it's
and hopefully y'all haven't got rid of us. You know, our hope is even before we get back on our feet, use us. Please.
Please do that.
Yes.
I'll figure something out.
Well, your story is very inspirational, and I feel like it's going to help a lot of people. I hope so. You mentioned that, you know, God is putting you guys through this for a reason, and I think it's such help more people.
Yeah. I think there's a reason for it. You know, we always taught our boys that, and I do think there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
So that's why we say, you know what? Use us.
We'll keep the faith, keep the smart, keep fighting.
We will.
Amen.
We haven't got this far without doing that, so we will.
I'm excited to hear what's next in your guys' story.
Well, thank you.
It's going to be great.
It is.
It's time to dig in and keep moving forward.
Absolutely.
But yes, that's good stuff. And thank you all for watching and listening. Please like, share, subscribe, donate, and even volunteer at Matthew's Hope. We'll talk to you next time.